In this episode of Bear Podcast,
Super Bowl Camel Toe,
Heroes Reborn,
Gay Man in the Oil Fields,
Technological Advancement in Sex Toys,
and Getting Paid to Poop.
All these and more coming up next.
Bear Podcast 554.
Bigger than the earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needs to be slapped.
Strip cards against humanity.
And it's Sunday night, did you do the sing along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it, we had pleasure. That's great.
Is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I'm Ray.
Episode 554. It's Tuesday, February 3rd.
Oh my god, it's almost Valentine's Day.
That's right. And yesterday was Groundhog Day. Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. This is not, no, sorry. I'm not going to play that game.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Well, all of the best posts on Facebook that I've seen this week is, only in America will people believe that a groundhog seeing a shadow extends weather, will extend winter. But nobody believed them on global climate change from scientists.
That's right. They rather believe what is it?
A rodent.
A groundhog. A rodent.
A rat. A rat. Oversized raticus.
That's right. So. So speaking of winter, so we hope our friends out there in the Northeast are safe. And sorry for the bad weather. I feel bad for you guys who are really, really freezing out there. And did you see Devin's post? He's got about like this, about 18 inches thick of snow on their car. How do you plow a car? How do you clean? I guess you push
I know
the
how
ice.
You get plowed on a car, but Devin, you chose to live there. Quit whining. Come south below the Mason-Dixon line, and you won't have to worry about that rarely.
Look at us. It's so warm. For us, freezing is 40 degrees.
You know, while all y'all were freezing and going through all this feet and feet of snow. It was 70-something degrees here this weekend.
Yeah, it shorts was. It's really nice just walking around.
You know,
we even had softball practice, which is great.
And once in a blue moon, we'll have a hurricane we have to deal with. But other than that, it's usually just rain or sunshine.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so last weekend, we had our first softball practice with the Wave. So we're getting ready for the season. And then after that, I got to watch Project Almanac. Not recommendable on the TV screen and the movie screen.
It's not. Is that kind of like Project Runway?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Project Almanac. It's about these teenagers who stumble upon a time machine. So
a hot tub?
No, not the hot tub time machine. No, it's not.
Oh, that's right. That's number two coming out. That's a different movie. So.
Yeah. So it's kind of, I don't know. It they're trying to be like Blair Witch Project meets
Butterfly
effect, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I kind of got when I was watching.
It's exactly what, but it's Butterfly Effect with Ashton Kutcher back then. Ashton Kutcher. So,
we'll see. Jupiter Rising, or Jupiter Ascending, whatever it's called, opens this weekend, which is scary.
Is that also time travel?
No, that's the one. It's got Channing Tatum in it.
Oh, okay.
And it's the big sci-fi thriller.
Really?
But what gets me is when they open movies this early in the season, that usually makes them bad. The movies are either bad because they couldn't compete against the summer movies, or it's just good enough that it'll make money if they open it this time of the year, or if they opened it during the summer because of all the competition, it wouldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. So that's what scares me. But it has Channing Tatum in it.
That's right. Oh, God. I'm sure there's a lot there watching who likes Channing Tatum. So anyway, Project Almanac, it's really like the Butterfly Effect, and it's about time travel, usual. Anyway, so
is the DeLorean involved?
Well, actually, almost. It's more like when I stepped outside the theater, I saw a DeLorean. So I was thinking, Marty McFly is walking
Maybe
around.
He was coming back fixing this bad movie, or trying to.
That's right. He went back in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're past.
Well, you know, last week or the week before was the, wasn't it the date in
the date in Back to the Future
Back
that
the
they're
future
referring to?
Yeah, that they referred to about going into the future or something.
Wow, it's that time now.
Well, they have the hoverboards and all that kind of stuff.
Well, there is a hoverboard.
There now. Is a hoverboard now. Yes.
So in concept, but you need to have a copper. What is it? Like a copper floor or something like that. So you can do that. It's a proof of concept, but you can't use it just anywhere yet. Anyway, I just read about it. So yeah, Super Bowl. How was your Super Bowl?
It was good. Had people over to the house and had Robbie all dressed up in blue and green paint and.
All over.
Wait. It in his hair and on his face. And stuff okay. Like that, so, but
I didn't see any pictures.
I don't know if he took any pictures. Oh. I keep forgetting to take. I'm bad about taking pictures.
I know. I noticed. So, you go to all these trips, this 1 week in Sierra, and you don't have any pictures.
Well, I do. I just haven't posted. I just haven't posted them. So. Okay. And Robbie took so many. I was like, well, they're all. I'm tied into all his pictures if somebody wants to see them. So,
okay.
I still got videos I got to download of the trip that I got
to. Yeah, you have to offload your phone.
So
Super Bowl, we went to Paul and Young. Thank you very much, Paul and Young, for the invite. And there are about 70 people.
Well, we didn't go.
You guys didn't go. I went.
So you went.
Mm-hmm.
I was at home. That's right. There was no we.
There's no we, but us went.
You went.
Yeah, so I was there.
Y'all went.
I made 90 egg rolls. Mm-hmm. I made a lot.
Did he stop by my house and drop you off? No.
Nah, because, you know, you have to kind of serve it to the party.
I had a party at my house that you were invited to.
I know, but.
And did he show up? Did he even text say, hey, you know, I'm busy. No.
So it's not my fault.
No. He was like, oh, that'd be bears. I was like, lost.
Suddenly you became pixelated.
I was pixelated. I was like, did not even see me. Drove right on by my house.
Anyway, so we went. Yeah, we were there and. What do you think? Did you actually watch the ending? How the Patriots won?
We did. I did watch the Super Bowl.
You think it's a okay? So do you think it's a bad call?
Well,
that they threw the ball.
Well, see, I got a story about that.
All right, can you tell the story now?
This is the story of the Super Bowl in Camel Toe.
Okay.
All right. So we were sitting there, and and because people had walked out of the room and missed a commercial or something was funny, we wanted to go back and rewatch it again, or we were watching some plays. We got off from the actual live time of the game.
All right.
It's because we were trying to watch all the commercials because, you know, the Super Bowl commercials are usually pretty hopping. So, towards the end, the Seahawks had the ball. They're at, like, what, the 10 or 5-yard line, something right there.
Yeah.
And they stopped and they were setting up the play. And all of a sudden, one of the girls that was with us said, that guy's got a camel toe. And Robbie's like, he ain't got a camel toe. What are you talking about? So he stopped it and rewound it. And they looked at it. And they were joking about it. But then when he hit play again, it jumped. And we lost about 5 minutes.
Oh,
and
no.
And it jumped from Seahawks getting ready to make the play to right when the fight started.
Oh, the fight. Yeah. Oh, my God. The fight.
We were like, what the hell happened? Where'd the Seahawks get the extra points? What, you know, and it wouldn't rewind because it switched to a new hour into 9 over that few minutes that we were off.
Uh-huh.
So we couldn't go back and rewind it and see what happened because we weren't recording it. It was just going through the thing, you know, when it's recording. So when you're watching TV, it only records from the beginning of the hour up forward.
Yeah.
You can't go back past unless you actually hit record.
Oh, so we lost it.
So we were like, what in the hell happened? Everybody's getting on their phones, getting on Google, trying to find out. And then it was over with. So the moral of the story is, don't fucking worry about Camel Toe doing the Super Bowl.
Okay. Camel Toe and Super Bowl. Maybe that's a good title for the show. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So just to give you an overview, I don't know if you guys, the audience, do care about it. People are saying that it was a bad call, that the Seahawks, you're 1 yard from the goal, and they did a throw instead of inching it in, you know, passing the ball and just run it in.
Yeah. Well, it's always better to inch it in.
Yeah, that's right. Instead of throw.
Slamming it on, throwing it on up in there.
Yeah. So they did that and got intercepted.
Okay.
Yeah, they got intercepted. That's how. And then
that's how. What caused the fight? Because I never went.
Because of that. And then it was so the ball went to the Patriots, but they're in the goal. was a goal line. Yeah, mm-hmm. They had to push, and then they had to, and then there were penalties. They went forward, and then they started having a fight. Yeah, on the next down. So it was exciting. That's where you caught it, right? During the fight?
It was right after the fight.
Oh, right after the fight? You even missed the fight?
They were like rewinding and show it and doing replays of what was going on. And we were just like, no.
Anyway, it was a fun game.
Damn camel toe on a football player.
Yeah. Camel toe. Anyway, so yeah, that was I hope you guys watched it. I don't know if any of you guys care about the football before. But what do you think of the commercials?
Well, that's what our topic is.
That's right.
We get to. So, but I want to talk a little bit more weekend because I went and saw Pat and Jerry this weekend, Patrick and Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
Met them for lunch because they were out doing some errands. So we met up somewhere and had lunch and, you know, talked about the loss of their dog, Mandy. Sorry, guys. Y'all lost her. She was a sweet dog. Mm-hmm. But while I was up there on 1960, there was a Kroger and a Kohl's across the street from where we were eating. And I needed to go to both of them. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, hell, I'm here. It's right across the street. I'll go to it. Mm-hmm. So I went to Kohl's, bought some pants for work. And then I went down to El Kroger. Mm-hmm. Guess who was in El Kroger?
Who are they?
It was somebody that does another podcast here in Houston. Uh-huh. In his underwear.
Okay.
And one of your friends.
One of my friends. Yes. He's one of your friends, too.
Well, he's one of my friends, too. But he's more your friend than my friend.
Okay. Right. So, you saw
Dave and Mark.
Yeah, but Mark, a different Mark. He's a different Mark. Okay.
Yeah. So Dave was there, and I started following, and I saw two bald heads when I was walking down the aisle. So I turned around and come back, and I saw him cut the corner, and I was like, I know those heads.
You know those heads? Those bald heads.
So I followed them, and then I got behind them, and they were turned sideways, and I said, oh, that's Dave and Mark. So I started to go up to them, and they turned and kept walking. They didn't see me. So I just started following them through the store. And finally, when we got to the cheese, Dave turned around and was like, oh, I wondered who that was following us. And I was like, oh, you waited this long to turn around?
Right.
So that was kind of funny running into them. So.
Of all places, Kroger.
Kroger, I know. In 1960. Mm-hmm. So, but Dave apparently was getting his Jeep worked on. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So on to our topics.
Super Bowl commercials.
Now, these are my two commercials that I thought were interesting that they played during the Super Bowl. I thought they were very informative. I don't have anything against them, but it did bring a big downer to the whole party sense.
Yeah,
of the Super Bowl.
That's what my friends also said. Some of my coworkers said they it was a downer.
Very much a downer. There was some very – it was not the whole fun stuff. So anyway, the first one was the Nationwide commercial. And this week, Nationwide defended its choice to discuss a child's death by saying it wanted to start a conversation about safety and prevention. I'll never learn to ride a bike or get cookies, a little boy says in Nationwide's commercial that aired during the Super Bowl. I will never learn to fly or travel the world with my best friend. At Nationwide, we believe in protecting what matters most, your kids, the commercial says as it ends. Many folks felt it was depressing, upsetting, and even brought down the uplifting Super Bowl atmosphere. Mm-hmm. The kid later dead plans, I couldn't grow up because I died from an accident.
Oh, God. It's really.
So, and after watching that.
It's kind of morbid. Okay.
Well, it's very morbid, but I mean, it does talk people to discuss about stuff.
Well,
like
that's true. Because
people don't like to talk about, you know, there's something happening to one of their kids and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And, you know, I always thought it was morbid to buy baby insurance. Life insurance for your baby.
Yeah.
But that's something you kind of have to think about because.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sure many have thought of that. It's just that, let's face it. People expect commercials to be funny.
Funny.
To be funny, cashing
and sell
everything.
A product, and this did sell a product. It's selling Nationwide, and people are talking about it because it was a depressing commercial.
Yeah.
So it got the point across that it can sell and make you talk and think about stuff.
They got their message through, I guess.
Yes. So.
Which is great. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember because there's just so many people in the party. Watching the commercials is just hard to hear. We're just really watching the game, really. And,
well, see, that's the main thing. I watched the game. I could really care less about watching the game, but.
Wait. Weren't you watching the Katy Perry concert that had a football game behind before it?
Yes.
Yes.
I was watching the Katy Perry concert.
What do you think of the Katy Perry Katy Perry concert?
Well, one of my other favorite lines this week off Facebook, that's the only time a lion will be at the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do you think of the it looked like a robotic robot, a robotic tiger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's funny is
where they stole that from, don't you?
Where?
He-Man.
From He-Man?
Yes, go watch the He-Man comics.
That's He-Man and that's Battle Cat?
Battle Cat, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, it looked very much like that. I mean, somebody posted some memes on Facebook about it, about, you know, here's Katy Perry and her lying, and here's He-Man. riding into the stadium on Battle Cat. So it's kind of funny.
So when they were doing that, oh, it's so cool. Oh, wow. See from afar.
Yeah.
And then when they closed up, they did a close-up view, there were guys pushing the
room. Well, yeah. I mean, they're black, but that's how – but, I mean, it
had the good effect.
I
thought it's mechanical. I thought it was robotic, but all along it was the guys.
Yeah.
There were these guys in black suits and just
Did you see the big faux pas that Miss Perry did during the thing?
What did she do? I didn't know. I don't remember.
The same pair of shoes she opened up with was the same pair of shoes she closed with.
Oh.
And those silver shoes did not match that gold outfit or that gold lying at all.
Leave it to Ray for fashion tips.
So I was just like, you know, you can make all these damn costume changes. You can figure a way to change your shoes. The only reason I can think that she didn't change them is because there might have been something that has to do with the stunts that they pulled and her flying around. They might have locked into something. Mm-hmm. So they decided the final look would be the one to use them with and not to worry about the first one. But they could have put like gold light shining on them so they wouldn't have stuck out as silver. So, but.
Yeah. The stage was pretty cool.
It was very cool. I like the lighting effects, the lighting projection effects.
Yeah.
That was actually a projection effect on the field and made it look like all this stuff was happening and everything. Everybody apparently loves the sharks. They thought that was awesome.
It was funny. They said the shark on the left was drunk, so, dancing drunk or something.
I don't know. But there were a lot of people talking about that Katy Perry was pushing dark magic and homosexuality during the Super Bowl.
Oh, so remember the parts of it. Lenny Kravitz came out.
Which is very good. And then Mr. Mina Elliott showed up.
Missy Elliott came out,
dropped
too.
It and flipped it and reversed it.
You know what's funny? Somebody at work was telling me about it. That, oh, Katy Perry. Who's that guy? She's going to make that guy famous. She's going to make that Missy Elliott famous.
Somebody at work said that?
Yeah, no.
That's kind of like, no, that's like saying
His kids were saying, you know, Katy Perry's going to make them famous because they joined her.
That's kind of like saying that Keon's going to make Paul McCartney famous.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, gosh. So. It's just, and then, of course, you would feel old just listening to that, right?
Yes. So.
Oh, my God.
But Missy Mr. Ain't kicked it.
Yeah. She's pretty good.
She worked it. So, mm-hmm. The other big ad that came right—I can't remember if it was right before or right after the nationwide one—was the Super Bowl domestic violence ad. Was a real woman calling for help. That was a reenactment of something that actually happened one time. Mm. So, did you get to see that one? Because it was pretty intense.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it a downer also?
It was very much a downer. So, okay. The anti-domestic violence PSA, which ran during Sunday's Super Bowl, was not only gripping, but pulled from a real 911 call posted on Reddit by a dispatcher 8 months ago. Mm. According to USA Today, No More, an organization described as aiming to educate Americans on any domestic violence and sexual assault, culled the call into a short spot that is at first confusing and then chilling. Here's what the dispatcher originally posted on Reddit. Okay. I had a call that started out pretty much dumb, but was actually pretty serious. 911, what is your emergency? 123 Main Street. Okay, what's going on there? I'd like to order a pizza for delivery. Oh, great, a prank call, the guy thinks. Mm-hmm. Ma'am, you've reached 911. Yeah, I know. Can I have a large with half pepperoni, half mushroom, and peppers? I'm sorry, you know you've called 911, right? Yeah, do you know how long it will be? Okay, ma'am, is everything over there okay over there?
Oh.
Is everything okay over there? Do you have an emergency? Yes, I do. And you can't talk about it because there's someone in the room with you. Dispatcher finally realized something's going on. Yes, that is correct. Do you know how long it will be? I have an officer about a mile from your location. Are there any weapons in your house? Nope. Can you stay on the phone with me? Nope. See you soon. Thanks.
Oh, wow.
As we dispatched the call, I checked the history at the address and see there are multiple previous domestic violence calls. The officer arrives and finds a couple. The female was kind of banged up and her boyfriend was drunk. Officer arrests him after she explains that the boyfriend had been beating her for a while. I thought she was pretty clever to use that trick. Definitely one of the most memorable calls.
So if you do that, everybody would know if you're ordering pizza, you're calling for help.
That's how it happened. I mean, yeah. A lot of these calls, it's like this week on the news, they were talking about this woman called a woman's cell phone as a telemarketing agency, and the husband was beating on her. When she fell, it answered the call, and she could hear the woman being beaten on the other phone, the end of the phone, and they finally got the police involved and saved the woman's life.
So the telemarketer did the right thing.
Yes. So.
Wow. Wow. So, yeah. The telemarketers
are not so bad. I think it's very interesting that it was a very effective commercial saying, about ending domestic violence, especially with what was going on in the NFL this year with multiple domestic violence cases.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've been reading about that.
So, but, I also started thinking about it. How many gay cases of domestic violence go unreported?
Oh, you know what? Good point. Domestic violence at home. I have a friend, high school, somebody, not a friend, but high school colleague, high school classmate, and we had the reunion back then in Chicago, and we met up with him, and he said that he's a cop. He's an LA cop. So he said that if it's a domestic violence between a husband and wife, definitely he's going to arrest the husband. But when he answers a domestic violence call and goes to a house and both are gay guys, both are arrested. And he says that we will just let the DA take care of it. So there's discrimination
there. Well, there's discrimination there. But there's also domestic violence as of women abusing their husbands. There's reported cases of that. It's not as common as men abusing women.
That's true. But how? Like the guys beat up?
Yeah. There's some mean-ass women out there.
Oh, wow.
Who will cut your ass.
Oh, wow.
So, but, it's interesting that they brought this up, that if there's something going on and you feel like you're scared to call, that this was a great example of how to call and ask for help when you can't. Hey, baby, I'm ordering a pizza, help.
That's right. Order pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good trick, though.
Yeah.
So I can start calling. Not going to make a joke out of it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's
move. You'll have to change your tactics from 911, I have donuts.
Okay. All right, let's go into entertainment, Ray.
Okay.
So, alleged live-action TNT, Teen Titans, cast revealed. So, Dick Grayson had previously been reported as a featured character on the series, and Nerdist stated that he'll start the series as Robin. Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Robin first, specifically working as a detective in Boston following a split with Batman. Oh, they broke up. So an approach similar to
Batman went letting him be on top.
An approach similar to the one used from his pre-New 52 Nightwing identity. So Barbara Gordon, not traditionally associated with DC's Titans team, but certainly connected to Dick Grayson. So yeah, he's also slated to be part of the series. According to Nerdist, said not to be using the same Oracle.
Yeah, she won't be Oracle. Right. She won't be Oracle in the series.
She won't be Oracle. She'll just be okay.
Yeah, though she will be.
Did you watch Bird of Prey?
Yes,
all of it. I got that from my friend Mark.
I got the whole season on disc.
Oh really? I borrowed that disc from my friend Mark. Yeah. Oh yeah. I don't know. I felt kind of lame about it. So though the wheelchair bound in the pilot script and the team's resident computer hacker. Yeah. So
now here's two that I don't when I followed Teen Titans back in the 80s, and I don't remember a Hawk and Dove. I think they came much later on.
I just know
when I read it, it was Nightwing, which is the original Robin, Starfire, Cyborg, Raven, Changeling, and
Cyborg was there. I remember.
And there's a couple they brought it. Tara.
Oh, I can't remember.
She played a bit part. And Changeling was in love with her, but she turned out to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
So anyway, to finish the story out, Hawk and Dove will be there, are also playing as Titans member per the report, and said to be quite different from the comic book lore other than being in a romantic relationship with each other. I guess Hawk and Dove's a male-female couple. I don't know.
Maybe.
I was hoping
Is it the same Hawk? It is a hawk man. It's a hawk girl.
There's a hawk
in the comic in the
DC comics, but this is somebody different.
Okay, this so they kind of veered the way.
And I don't know how they might be related to the Hawkman, Hawkwoman. I don't know. So.
Maybe.
Raven and Starfire also said to be on tap as part of the show, which is consistent with earlier reports. Raven will reportedly take cues from writer and DC Entertainment chief creative officer Geoff Johns' mid-2000 runs on Teen Titans with the Sabine identity of Rachel Roth Bernardis. So, and they're supposed to come in at the end of the script. So it's going to be interesting. They're going to have. It's going to be interesting to see how they tie this all stuff. But
it will shoot in 2015.
Yeah, so it'll probably premiere next year.
Yeah.
It's good. And I guess that DC's pushing this stuff out there with the trying to get more stuff out there since Arrow and The Flash are doing very well.
Yeah. So. I'm liking The Flash. I like how it's progressing right now.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Let's move on to this. Really something I'm excited about.
Yes, because it was a commercial during the Super Bowl.
Yes, it was a commercial in the Super Bowl.
Okay, you want to talk about it some?
Just a little bit, okay. So Heroes Reborn is going to come out, is it this year?
Well, I don't know if it's coming out this year. It's filming this year.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's going to premiere this year or they're going to hold it to like a mid-season replacement next year.
Yeah. So in the...
Well, they were talking about, I think we originally reported this, that it might be a miniseries during the summer.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so it came out. I saw the on YouTube. I saw the commercial for it, the trailer. There's this guy who has control over the Aurora Borealis or something like that, or he just was able to control lights from the cloud, something like that. So anyway, it's a very cool, short trailer, really. And okay, these are five things that you'll see. So Zachary Levi will take center stage. I guess he's the, what's his name? The one who it was centered about before.
Well, it was centered later around the cheerleader first.
The other guy, the first guy who tried to jump, and then Milo, something like that.
Vita Benjamin.
Anyway. It was around him before. It's about him. But anyway, this guy...
Well, it was about the cheerleader, and then he came to be like a part of it, and the two of them kind of...
Yeah. The cheerleader came in. But anyway, so five things to know. Zachary Levi, known as Chuck. He's Chuck from Chuck, yeah. So he will be the center... he'll be on center stage there. And Noah Bennett, who's also known as HRG,
Horn Rim Glasses.
See, that's the... Anyway, I have something to say about that. Anyway, so they will be traveling, and there is going to be a new villain... And
yeah, Zach Quinto was offered a role in it, but he turned it down.
He turned it down? Yeah. He doesn't want to be Siler anymore?
No. Well, I don't know. Well, they say that because he's starting a new show on NBC, I think, or one of the other networks. I think it's NBC.
Okay.
Coming up in the early spring. So he might not have time for it, but he said he turned the role down. They didn't say he wouldn't make a guest appearance.
Okay. There's also going to be a digital premiere show. So I'm looking forward to this, Heroes, and... what I'm going to say. Oh, yeah. My comment about HRG. Just cut the in HRG. Just call him Bennett. Because all throughout the TV show, he's been called Noah Bennett. Bennett. And then the comic book. It's only in the comic book series, the web series, that they kept calling him HRG. And everybody calls him HRG. Who the hell is HRG? It's not even mentioned in the TV show. Do you remember?
Well, maybe that's something they want to do in the TV show, but it wouldn't work.
Yeah. HRG. HRG is this. HRG is that. Yeah. But Horn Green Glasses guy. So it's
HRG takes up a lot less writing space than Noel Bennett.
Oh, that's true. It's just that for reference, it was just lame for me. I mean, along you're calling it HRG.
What's that whole thing like?
No, he's Noah Bennett.
What's that whole thing like? Deep throat.
Deep throat. Anyway, so yeah, those are our entertainment news. I hope you guys like it. Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
Okay, the gay this week is an article I found that's talking about the isolated lives of North Dakota's gay oil field workers, which is something we can relate to because there's a lot of oil field workers here in town and work out, but there's a lot of people out there in the middle of nowhere that's working on these oil rigs and stuff, roughnecks.
Since this is Houston, I know what you mean about this, you know, lots of oil, but most of the people here are more trading. And oil,
yeah, I mean,
not
most
actually
of it's more company operating, not out on rigs. Well, a lot of people do live here that work out on rigs.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
So, but anyway, this is by a story by Cole Stangler. So you can, and Maynard post the links on the thing so you can read the whole article. But it's very interesting article. So I wonder, I'm going to read part of it and then we can discuss it a little bit. So. Okay. My one and only liaison in the oil fields of western North Dakota was with a 23-year-old truck driver. Like most such encounters in the oil patch, ours originated on Grindr, the mobile hookup app for gay, bisexual, and curious men. He sent me a photo, and we traded some biographical details. A few hours later, he was in my room at the Williamston Super 8.
Hot.
After our rendezvous, as a November night air dipped below 10 degrees, we took shelter in his car to smoke cigarettes. I was only going to be in the state for 48 more hours, but we made tentative plans to go shooting the next day. I was less interested in the exercising my Second Amendment rights for the first time than in extending our easy fling. He just needed to see whether he could get off work that day. No small task for someone accustomed to 16-hour shifts 6 days a week. Mm-hmm. I'll never really know whether he was able to get time off or not, but when he told me he had to work, it seemed plausible enough. This is a sacrifice made by nearly all those who have flocked to find jobs in North Dakota's booming back in shale formation, which is, I think, currently shut down because the oil prices dropped so low.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When you are working in this fast-paced, physically exhausting oil economy, there's little time for romance. You make money up here and you leave. Another gay worker, a 23-year-old who works for a company that rents and sells motors to drill wells, told me that kind of puts a damper on relationships.
Oh, because you
because they're only there. I mean, it's like the oil rigs. They come up there and work, make the money, and then they leave once the drilling's done and the oil is flowing.
After they drill someone, they do their work at the drilling. And then they leave.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it leaves little time for gay men to build a community. Attitudes are shifting, but their state's socially conservative heritage still looms large. Same-sex relationships are often intensely private, if not wholly covert, affairs, and LGBT-friendly spaces remain exasperatingly limited.
So you're saying this is for the gay people, but for the straight people, don't you think it's also a bigger problem? Because, I don't know, maybe they get the girl knocked up and then they leave. Or,
yeah, but don't you think overall life is more definitely easier for straight what's considered normal straight America?
What do you mean?
Well, it's normal straight guys can walk into any bar in the world, any bar up there,
okay,
and find some chick to hook up with.
Yeah. Okay, just like any other place, I guess.
Yeah.
And leave.
Okay. Now, what about gay guys? Because there's no gay bars up there. There's no gays.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
There's no.
So all you really have to do is.
They have Grindr.
They have Grindr.
And hookup apps.
Yeah.
And a lot of these places are hundreds of miles apart. I mean, there's nothing up there. I mean, you're in the middle of nowhere in North Dakota.
Yeah, that is North Dakota area.
I mean, it's like being out in parts of West Texas. You know, I mean, it's like driving past San Antonio. It's just on and on. They ain't shit out there. Except oil fields.
But still, the people get to meet people truck stops, I guess.
Yes.
But then they have truck stops there. Well, not that I'm saying that there are no truck stops there in North Dakota. It's just, it is.
But it's hard to have a social life there.
That's true.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember, when was it, 2012. Yeah, Mike and I were there in Minnesota. And then we drove up to North Dakota. And, oh my God, it's just nothing there.
Exactly.
There's nothing there.
There's nothing there. You get up and you work for 16 hours a day and you go back.
We did go to Fargo. Yeah. We went to Fargo. So, that was funny.
Okay. But the one interesting thing is the author reports, homophobia never lingers far from the surface. It was at a bar the other night when this guy started calling me a fucking queer. John Kelly, a burly 29-year-old real estate developer who moved to Williston 4 years ago, told me, "I've been out for 10 years and nobody's ever said that to me." Kelly tried to defuse the situation, but when the drunken taunting wouldn't stop, he was left with no other option. I punched him in the face and knocked him down to the ground, Kelly told me. And I told him, "You just got your ass beat by fucking queer." So
I like it when that happens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll post the links. Go read the rest of the article. If you live up there and listen to the podcast and want to talk about your experiences in the oil patches and what it's like. I know I hear stories from people all the time that work on the rigs.
What do they do?
Well, that's the point. They don't do anything because they're so scared. They're like, you don't let shit like that get out on the rig because some of them guys would beat the fuck out of you and throw you off the rig and you're gone.
You said there's an accident.
An accident. He got washed overboard or something.
So that's the scary part of being gay and in the rig.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
But I know some people who are, I think they're out, but they don't do anything there because, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, it won't, your ass get caught. I mean.
Well, same thing with straight guys. If they're straight and they're in the ring, they can't do anything either.
True.
Unless they become gay.
Okay. True. But I've always heard from everybody that I've ever talked to that worked on a rig said they'd never done anything gay on a rig because they were too scared of what might happen if they got caught.
Yeah. Should be some kind of a disclaimer or a clause that they can be gay. I don't know. Yeah. Would it be funny if they're in a rig and they have, you know, fashion shows or something?
I don't think that happens. That doesn't happen in the fucking real man world. Especially on rigs.
Not on rigs. You don't have fashion shows in rigs.
I don't think that shit happens.
Okay, all right.
I mean, I think they work their ass off very long days. They shake shower, they get fed well, and they go sleep. Then they get back up and work again.
Gosh.
So I don't think there's any of this.
Do you think they have porn
and
there?
Work? And I doubt it. If they do, they probably bring it on their personal computers and stuff. And there might be some rules. I don't know. But knowing from the good old boy network what I have to deal with my job and shit, I wouldn't go out there and try anything because I know there'd be some dudes that probably kick your ass and kill you.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
And not think twice about it.
You know, we should ask some people who do go to rigs and ask, do you bring your own porn? Do you bring your porn on your computer?
I don't know. Maybe I've been totally wrong. Maybe I'm just being paranoid. But if you work in the oil field and you've got a different story, let us know.
Tell us your story.
So tell us your story. Call
do
in.
Do you bring porn on board or something like that? I don't know.
So.
Okay. So let's move on with the geek, Ray.
Okay.
So the sex toys of the digital age still have a long way to go. This is from Vice.com. A crowd of 100 or more had gathered in the Panorama Ballroom on the penthouse floor of the Andaz Hotel in West Hollywood. It was Thursday in the afternoon, and we were all attending the XBiz 360 Sex Industry Conference. Really? They have sex industry conference there?
Well, sure. They have all kinds of stuff.
On stage with a shock spot, once dubbed the Rolls Royce of fuck machines, a mechanized contraption of hard lines and metallic finish with a dildo affixed to its arm. Next to it, a man was gripping a fleshlight, the famous ersatz vagina. So the fleshlight was outfitted with a special attachment called the V-stroker. What it does is it monitors your motion and transfers it to your USB drive that's plugged into your computer, said V-stroker COO John Ruskin, who was demonstrating from the stage. He explained that the company was partnered with the webcam porn site Flirt for Free to provide an interactive service, a virtual sex experience that would let customers get physical with cam girls via the internet. And with the jiggle of a tricked-out fleshlight, the shock spots, dildo arm jerked back and forth, each thrust punctuated by a robotic wheeze. Oh, I remember this. Teledildonics. We had this in the show.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Maybe that's why I picked this article.
We're talking about 8 years, 9 years ago, we were talking about teledildonics. So is this kind of technology the future of sex toys? There's been a lot of buzz over the years about the growing field of teledildonics. An ugly sounding portmanteau that refers to the intersection of sex toys, electronics, and computers. So yeah, it's interesting that we're having some advancement on dildo technology. Mm-hmm. Don't you think? So is this what the article is all about, I guess?
Well, it talks about the different stuff also. The first is the Onyx, an elegant black jack-off toy equipped with outside black sensors. Jack-off toy. 10 contracting internal rings, and a fleshlight sleeve. The second is the Pearl, a soft white silicone vibrator that, if stroked, licked, or inserted, signals through a Bluetooth connection over a video chat platform back to the Onyx, creating for the lucky fella a nuanced intercourse experience in real time. Even more daunting was the A10 Cyclone, a Japanese jack-off machine for men, originally released in 2009, which we talked about on the show.
Oh, we had this in the show before.
I think we had it as a bizarre. It promised to change the course of masturbation history with the help of a powerful engine in 49 rotating modes, including several ultra-high speed settings. But watching it in action might make you think more of an industrial-grade food processor than a fun sex toy.
I remember this is the one it's like a weight, you know, a scale weight, but not really. You wear a condom and then you insert your dick into it and then you put a coin or something like that and it will masturbate you. It's a sperm extractor.
Extractor, yeah. But I don't remember it being putting money into it. It was something
you could... It's probably just buttons.
But, yeah.
So. Okay, the sperm extractor.
But that's kind of like what this is.
Yeah.
This A10 Cyclone, which is thing, so... So that's it. Our sex toys are moving forward to virtual sex. You don't even have to go out and hook up. You can just...
They're a Bluetooth technology. Oh, wow, look at that. I can actually give you the app so you could control it and then...
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, you can do that.
Well, that's the thing that I'd like to see is that somebody develop a butt plug or something like that that's vibrating, that you could have an app on your phone. You could program it so you could link to it. Mm-hmm. And your partner has their phone on them, and then you can change the speeds or do stuff like that remotely.
Oh, how about
over
those
long distances?
Those remember what Steve was telling us about the chastity belt for guys, the chastity cage,
yeah,
something like that. It's got Bluetooth technology too, and it can only be unlocked by an iPhone app. And I think he hasn't showed me. I think he was telling me about it, but. Yeah. It's interesting that you can do that now.
Yeah.
See, lock it, unlock. Lock, unlock. It's really nice.
Well, that's good, though. You don't have to worry about a key or breaking tags.
Yeah, that's the point. What if you run out of batteries? You can't unlock anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to the bizarre. Let me take this too because it's okay. You might like this, Ray. So the article is about a person blogging about it. So I visited America's first poop bank.
So you went and watched poop?
No, it's a poop bank.
A poop bank.
Yeah.
Well, you know they got this whole thing at the Houston Zoo about poop now.
What about it?
Animal poop. It's the whole thing at the zoo.
Oh, okay. There's a lot of that. Anyone who's ever taken a shit before, which is to say everyone ever, has probably suffered from that form of anxiety when you're about to walk into a meeting or go on a first date and you worry that midway through you might have to stop to take a dump. Pooping may be natural, but it's not always welcome. But last week, I was struck by a different kind of performance anxiety. What if I got where I was going and I couldn't poop? I was on my way to Open Biome, a facility that pays people for shit. You can actually shit and get paid. So, and I was nervous as hell, he was saying. Will it make me look like less of a man if I can't do the job? I worried. And Taylor Swift's Shake It Off. Shaking off, was playing in the car, which seemed appropriate given the topic at hand. So Open Biome is America's first poop bank, which collects stool samples to help treat Clostridium difficile infections. C. diff, I guess that's the abbreviation. As it's often abbreviated, it's a bacterium that causes gastrointestinal distress. And it's one of the more common hospital-borne infections. About 500,000 people suffer from it each year, resulting in around 30,000 deaths. Oh my God! Just because they have this bacteria thing. For those who are living with it, leaving the house can be a nightmare. One of the most effective methods of treating the infection is through what's called a fecal microbiota transplantation, or in layman's terms, injecting someone else's turds up your ass.
So I wonder if this can be transmitted through anal sex.
Well, it's possible if one guy is fucking one guy and who has that bacteria and fuck the other guy, it'd be transmitted. That's right. But it's actually I heard about this. It's a common treatment. So what happened? What I've heard before, it's about a grandmother and the. The bacteria is donated by the poop is donated by a granddaughter.
Yeah.
So what they do is they put it in some kind of a capsule and then inserts it into the ass of the other person. So it would the bacteria that's from there, that's good bacteria, would propagate there inside the other person. Yeah. So it helps. It's like transplanting good bacteria to somebody else. Yeah. So. What I heard from the story of you about this, it's like if you're going to get paid, you can actually get paid by taking a shit and sending that shit to somebody and you get paid like $50. So,
well, hook me and Robbie up.
Yeah. So if you are taking a shit, you're actually flushing it down the toilet. You're flushing money down the toilet. We're going to do it.
I knew one day I had shit gold.
I know, right? Anyway, so that's a interesting thing. But yeah, I heard about this. It people getting injected with somebody else's poop because it is the bacteria that's in somebody else's. Oh, there's a prerequisite though. You have to be extremely healthy.
Oh, well, at least now.
Yeah, the donor of that poop should be extremely healthy.
Well, I don't know if diabetes is considered extremely healthy or not.
No, probably not. But
because of the diabetes medicine, it messes with your gastrointestinal tract anyhow.
Oh, yeah, so then you cannot be. So what happens is.
But I do take a whole lot of micro antibiotics.
What is it? Probiotics.
Probiotics.
So what I read about this is that you have to be healthy, and there will be probably thousands. Thousands have been doing this, sending their poop to this bank, and they would, test it. And if you are, and of course, out of 100, they'll probably just pick 5. And out of those 5, they'll start paying the guy. Hey, you have very good poop. Everybody might be healthy, but they would always choose the one who's healthiest and stuff like that. They have some tests that they do on the poop. So when they see that, oh, this guy is good. This poop is good. Okay, you'll be in the list. Send us your shit. We pay you $50. Something like that. So every time you poop. So
yeah, Robbie on this list. Because he shits like 20 times a day or something like that. So he could be rich. We're rich, I tell you, rich.
I'm going to take a shit and be rich. All right, so I guess that's it. That's the show. What are your plans this week?
I don't know.
Aren't you catching up on TV shows?
Trying to catch up
on TV. Are you still on, what is this? Sons of Anarchy.
Yes, I watch those. I try to watch those during my lunch break.
Oh, you do that?
Yeah.
I sometimes do that and then fall asleep during lunch break and then wake up in time for work. I've been watching The Killing on Netflix. And it's really good. Is Sons of Anarchy also on Netflix?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Probably I'll watch that later. But then my friend Mark suggested to me The Killing. It's really good. And you don't know who's the killer. For many episodes, it's back and forth. You thought they caught the killer. And then, no, it's not the killer. It's the other guy. You know, it's just really, it's a good back and forth thing. It makes you wonder what happened. It's pretty good thriller film. Thriller TV show.
Yeah, that's good. What's his name in it? Kevin Bacon?
No.
Who's in it?
I don't remember. But I do remember one of the actors there. His name is Brent Sexton, and he's a bear.
Oh.
Of course, I would remember the bear's name. Yeah. So he's, there was a part there he was naked, but he was wearing his boxer shorts. So it was lame. Anyway, so it was good. It was good to see a bear in the. And this time he didn't get killed. Usually in TV shows,
the bear gets killed.
Yeah. Always the time. That always happens. Okay, so we're going to do that tomorrow, by the way. Me and my friend Mark are going to watch The Book of Mormon. So I've always waited for The Book of Mormon to come to Houston. And my friends Mark and Paul. Oh, he's not here. It's on the screen very soon. Yeah, they watched it a couple of days ago. And then they posted it on Facebook. Oh, it's in town? I gotta watch it. So yeah, but then they were selling tickets. It's kind of sad that you're gonna watch a movie, a musical by yourself. So yeah. I had to ask Mark, "Hey, do you want to watch?"
Oh, a lot of people go and see it. This is pretty good. So I've never seen it.
Oh, them. This Mark and Paul. Mark and Paul. Yeah. So yeah, they're the ones who told me about it. So yeah, I got tickets. Got tickets for tomorrow. And that's.
Are you gonna dress up like a Mormon?
No. That's the funny part when. When Mark did dress like a Mormon, and you know when the show is over, they would a spokesperson from the touring team would say, "Okay, we'll have our actors go outside and collect from you guys for donation, blah blah blah," and they thought that he was one of the characters because he was wearing a Mormon clothes. Oh no, look for people with a bucket. Okay, yeah. So yeah, it's kind of funny, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I heard it's really dirty, it's really offensive because it's the makers of South Park, so you can imagine how offensive it's gonna be.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So what else is gonna happen? Yeah, that's pretty much the plan. Okay, so that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you everyone for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send us your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or if you want to call and leave us a voice message about what life is in the oil patch, Ben being gay or on a rig, you can call us at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. Just call and leave a voice message.
Yes. And subscribe via iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. And you can also listen to the show on Bear Radio Network and Stitcher Radio. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. And we will catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.